Well, Israel lived in Heshbon and its villages, and in Aroer and its villages, and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, 300 years. Why did you not deliver them within that time? I therefore have not sinned against you, and you do me wrong by making war on me. Yahweh, the judge, decide this day between the people of Israel and the people of Ammon. But the king of the Ammonites did not listen to the words of Jephthah that he sent to him. Then the spirit of Yahweh was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to Yahweh and said, If you will give me the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be Yahweh's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and Yahweh gave them into his hand, and he struck them from Aroer to the neighborhood of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel-Keramim, with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home in Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to Yahweh, and I cannot take back my vow. And she said to him, My father, you have opened your mouth to Yahweh. Do to me according to what has gone out from your mouth, now that Yahweh has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites. So she said to her father, Let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity, I and my companions. So he said, Go. Then he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed, she and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. What a joy to be in the Lord's presence with you. And what a long reading. Last Sunday, our pastor went up to Phoenixville, and we had long readings as well. And one of our church members there said, Pastor, are we going to read the entire Bible now during the services? It's almost that. Yes, the Bible is the Word of God. It's wonderful. Just receive guidance from the Bible completely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word, and we ask you to give us guidance through scripture and help us to understand the consequences of idolatry in the nuclear family and how we can have hope in you amid all the bad things that happen sometimes in your people's lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We all know that some people and cultures are more affectionate than others. Brazilians, for example, hug and kiss people. And I was remembering when I first arrived here, I found Charlene hugging everybody. And I heard that she broke some boundaries because some of us were not hug people from a hug family. And then Charlene started to attend the early service where Brazilians hug and kiss. And I said, now it's your time to be challenged. You will receive at least 50 kisses per service. And she's doing great. I believe she's kissing more than Brazilians right now. Regardless of our cultural background, all of us, with our little babies, we hug and kiss them all the time. Their sweetness and cuteness are irresistible. And I think for a while how many hugs and kisses our pastor already gave and said, and he is too right now. And this is normal for us. Some scholars believe that what happens to us as children shapes our lives. According to Ronald Runner of Connecticut University, childhood relationships shape our personalities, especially with parents and guardians. The psychological pain of rejection can last for years. When we turn back to the book of Judges and we look to this time in chapter 10, when the Israelites decided to run away again from the Lord and from His law, we realize that they started to worship not just the idols who were present among the people who were living in Israel, but the corruption advanced in a way that they started to worship idols who were out of the nation's boundaries. And we realize that this idolatry and corruption doesn't hit just the nation, but mainly the families. In the first verses of chapter 10, we hear about two judges who are listed without further details about their biography, Tola and Jair. Some scholars have stated that they exercised leadership in a more peaceful period and did not have as much relevance in their leadership. For this reason, I want to draw your attention to the next judge, Jephthah, and the influence of the Ammonites. Jephthah's family's background gives us a clear picture of how our nuclear family's lack of affection and healthy relationships can harm our character and distort how we view life and value people. And one of the most glorious aspects of the Bible is that the Word of God gives us transparency. We hear terrible things happening among God's people that it's hard to believe. But the Bible just shares with us with all the details, pointing to how harmful sin can be in our lives and mainly in our families, but mainly pointing to the grace of God, how the grace of God can rescue anyone from any terrible circumstance. We can just take several lessons or many lessons from the chapter's story, but I would like to focus on God's gracious action amid pain in the families of His people. How the grace of God is displayed when pain manifests itself in our families. We find one first precious truth in this Bible passage. Family relational quality is essential, but does not determine who we are. It is very important to cultivate a meaningful relationship in our household, but our relationships there cannot determine our character. The spiritual condition of Israel at this time was terrible. Pastor Dan mentioned last Sunday when chapter 21, verse 25 of Judges says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So we find Jephthah, who was son of Gilead, and his mother was a prostitute. He was not a legitimate son. So all the idolatrous behavior hit the moral life of the nation and the basis. And everywhere, every single culture where you find idolatry, you will find also sexual immorality. This is something common throughout the years. And that was the case in Israel. And what was the consequence of a broken home and an unhealthy marriage? Gilead was born from a bad relationship. And his siblings, his half-siblings, and his stepmother rejected him. And he was cast out by his half-sibling in events that determined his entire future, and became a bandit chief over a good group of vagrants. Jephthah's brother's passion for money was so high that they were not willing to share their inheritance. So he went away, started living by himself, no family, no close relationship with anybody. He had a natural leadership, but it was used in a bad way, because if we do not spend time with our children, our grandchildren, teaching them and just empowering all the natural gifts God gave to them, they will find people outside the church, outside the family, outside the good community, to use all the gifts in a bad way. That was the case of Jephthah. He was leading bad men, not doing good things. The Bible says Jephthah was a brave man. Perhaps his courage, in addition to being a natural endowment, was a characteristic developed as a defense mechanism, because being rejected as a prostitute's bastard son, he had no one to defend him. Unfortunately, his excellent leadership potential was channeled to something evil. In other biblical stories, church, we can also find family dysfunction and relational imbalance in the exchange of affections, where one son was preferred and others somehow despised. We find this in the family of Abraham with Ishmael and Isaac, Isaac with Esau and Jacob, Jacob with Joseph and his other brothers. It's impressive how the children who grew up in families where love was not shared in a fair way, they just replicated the same behavior upon their children. That's bad. And Jephthah had this reality in his household. He could not live with his brothers. And note that this rejection brought terrible wounds and trauma to Jephthah's heart. Many years later, he would mention, when asked to lead his people, if you take a look again in verse 11 of chapter, verse 7 of chapter 11, he says, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" What all these men failed to see, influenced by their family's toxic relationships, was the fact that the identity of the people of the covenant must be drawn from the character of God. Regardless of the bad experiences they had at their household, they should look to God's character, his attributes, and follow them, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, receive this new pattern. The New Testament is more clear regarding where we should get our identity from. Not from our bad experiences or something bad our relatives just shared with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the apostle Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is a reality to your life, to mine, our lives. If Christ is our Lord and Savior, it is common we as pastors hear people say, pastor, I do not feel like that. I don't feel that I'm that worthy. Do all the relational brokenness in my life. I don't feel that I'm valuable on this way. The Bible just makes clear that it's not our feelings what determine our values. Is what the Lord says, is what the Bible shows us, and we are new creatures in Christ. It is from Him and in Him that we find our value. Have you ever tasted the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit bringing healing to your heart? If yes, just enjoy this reality and remember that nothing from our past should determine who we are and how we live. Some researchers revealed 36 studies from around the world involving more than 10,000 people. And we found that rejected children experience more anxiety and insecurity and are more likely to be hostile and aggressive. Some of these researchers may not know that there is healing in God's presence. There is healing in the kingdom of God. And we must be aware of that. Because everyone here had different stories of life, came from different households. And while we are living our lives like Jephthah, we can just have in our everyday behavior some wounds displayed through what we do. Whenever we find that, let's just extend God's love and grace and show everyone the way of healing in the Lord's presence. Let us not shape our behavior or worldview from memories of our past trauma. Let's focus on Christ's sacrificial love for us despite the rejection we face in life. If we had an abusive grandfather or an abusive father, do not assume every man is abusive. That's not the truth. If we sense that we need help from our church, to clearly understand that our story is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ, just ask for help. The pastors, the elders, the leaders are here. You have a church family. Just taste the reality of our value in Christ. Secondly, when we look to this precious chapter, we must not allow harmful relationships to distort our mission in life. Returning to the text in chapter 11, verse 4. A few years pass since Jephthah went away and something unusual happens. Some of the Gilead leaders look for someone to lead them in a fight against the Ammonites. And who are they looking for? It's unbelievable. Jephthah. And we could say that the table has turned. Jephthah, despised through terrible misfortune, was prepared for the task of saving the very people who rejected him. He could say no. But he decides to lead them. But his motives was not the right one. He was just seeking to reclaim his inheritance and to become a judge upon his people. He didn't have the sense of mission to lead God's people and just drive them away from the enemies. All the bad experiences and rejection distorted the sense of mission Jephthah should have. According to most scholars, Jephthah wanted to become the army commander and judge over his house in Gilead. Yet, in his grace and compassion, God allows Jephthah to prosper and prepares the nation to fight the children of Ammonites. And we can see this clearly through verses 12 through 33. God pours out his spirit on Jephthah to drive Ammonites out of Israel, again defeating a powerful enemy with little effort. The battle was described in a single verse, just verse 33. It was the grace of God, the hand of God. God just made it clear it was not out of their strength or ability, but his hand delivering his people. But remember, Jephthah was interested to have power and reclaim his inheritance. Jephthah should have learned through the loving teaching of his parents that all material blessings have the same purpose as spiritual blessings, which is to promote the glory of God. He could become rich and powerful, but this could not be his main goal. As we read in Psalm 67, verses 6 and 7, the earth has willed its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And the same truth is explicit in the New Testament when Paul declares to the Corinthians, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." When any achievement in life becomes our ultimate goal, we miss the real purpose of life. Regardless how wealthy, powerful, and well-known we can become. So Jephthah just lost his sense of mission. And I will tell you, church, unfortunately, most children of our generation seek power, financial stability, and worldly security as the most important achievement in life. There is just a little sense of mission. Many people don't care about how they will better glorify God through their lives. Even worse, with a mistaken idea of life's achievement, they imagine that everything they have resulted from their effort, not God's provision. And that was the case of Jephthah and his distorted view of God's mission in his life. So, let us remind our children daily of the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer, church, good Presbyterians?
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Again?
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
That's great. Well done. Better than the first service. Do not feel diminished, if you do not have the most outstanding job or career. Remember that every honest profession contributes to the kingdom of God. Just do your mission and trust God will use you wherever you are. to glorify His name. And finally, always praise God's grace in every accomplishment of life. And then we come to the saddest moment of this Bible passage. God just had made it clear. It was His grace, His guidance, His mercy. They didn't deserve. They were messed up. But even out of God's mercy, after they claiming to the Lord is using one unusual man, like almost every single man in the Bible, with a terrible family background, with bad experiences regarding his leadership. But even with all of that, the Lord decides to use him and give victory to the people. But he showed Jephthah lack of appreciation of the character and requirements of the Lord and lack of confidence in God's willingness to equip him, seeking to secure God's favor by his rash vow. Jephthah decides to offer a human sacrifice to God if he were to win the battle. Wow! Nowhere, never, the Lord required a human sacrifice. Never in the law of Moses, never in Israel's history, Jephthah could find them. But the idea of meritocracy was so strong in his heart that he decided to just make this full vow. And out of God's grace, they win. But when he returns home, the worst happened. The person who comes to greet him in feast, it was his only daughter. He had no other child. And he decides to keep his vow. The lady decides to obey. And all the community there, we don't see anything in the biblical passage that points to any leader in Israel or anybody saying, this is wrong, this is against God's law, this is not the way we achieve in life, this is not an impossibility. We can read in the Bible that the Lord refuses that. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 8, the Lord had already warned of the danger of meritocracy. You as Americans greatly believe in pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. You love a so-called self-made man. And this is a strong trace of our society today. But we have to know, regardless how hard we work, study to build our lives, it is always God's grace that we are here alive, living, and advancing. Anytime that we think that we can impress God through our good works, we just missed the reality of Christian, of the Christian life. Jephthah could not understand. He valued power, glory more than his relationship with God and even with his family. His bad relational reality with his father and half-siblings and also mother just distorted his relationship with his own family. If he could just draw closer to the Word of God and to godly people, he could have a different perspective. A similar lack of understanding affected me for many years, the beginning of my ministry, as I was raised without my father, I was always working hard with my leaders who were older than me, trying to impress them through my hard work and effort, just looking for acknowledgement and love. One day, one of the pastors that I worked with, and I'm so grateful to have more experienced men in my life like Pastor Dan today. And at that time, it was Pastor Robinson Grangeiro. He came to me and said, "Bruno, why are you always trying to do more than what you are required? Are you looking for love and to be accepted? Let me tell you, you are loved in Christ. And there is nothing that you can do that will make him love you more than he already does. Serve with love. But never allow your work be a way to be a way of impress people or impress God. Just to do out of gratitude and understand that everything is grace." And it was a moment of deliverance to my heart. To serve, understanding God's grace and love, and doing his will out of this gratitude. I'd like to pray with you. And all of us know well our nuclear family stories. All of us know our wounds and our glories. But we have to understand, God's grace is present in our households here. If there is something that still hurts you, you should raise this before Christ and ask for healing, and also ask for help in your local church. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you for all the examples. We praise you for all the blessings we have in Christ. We praise you because there is nothing we can do that will make you love us more. Christ has done everything on the cross. He paid it all, and today we can enjoy your glorious presence. As Jephthah said in chapter 11, you are the righteous judge. All the judges here in this broken world are imperfect, but in you we can find perfection, love, meaning, and grace. May your grace reach all our hearts. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless us.